It'll be blue.
I'd like to call the Senate Resource Committee April 18th to order. Currently in attendance, Senator Stedman, Senator Elton, Senator Guest, Senator Dyson, myself, Senator Wagner, Chair, Senator Stevens, and Senator Seacon will be joining us in a while. Senator Stevens is currently tied up presenting a bill to House Finance. The first item before us today is confirmation hearing for Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and for the member of Kathy Forrester. Kathy, would you like to come forward this time, please? In your packet, you have the resume, and it's attached to the report on confirmation of appointments. And with that, Kathy, I will turn it over to you and let you make your presentation, and then I'll ask you, why in the world do you want to do this?
First, thank you all for fitting me into your busy schedules and considering me for this important appointment. I come from a family that was taught to try to give more than we take, and in the 13 years that my family and I have been here in Alaska, this state has done so many wonderful things for us that I'm excited to have this opportunity to give something back. When I think about my experiences and training as a petroleum engineer, I can't think of a better place that I could serve the state of Alaska than in the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. I've had a variety of engineering assignments, everything from reservoir development to facilities design, and a number of supervisory and management opportunities from small, highly technical groups of engineers and scientists to really large operations group, primarily of skilled and unskilled laborers. You've got my resume, but there are a couple of jobs that I've had here in Alaska that I think, one, I'm proud of, and two, I think will help prepare me to do well in this appointment. If you don't mind, I'll just talk about those a little bit. First, when I came to Alaska, I was the operations superintendent for the wells group at Prudhoe Bay, as that group was pioneering the coil tubing drilling technologies that are making opportunities for more resource recovery here in the state of Alaska and setting the benchmark for our operations worldwide. Now, I wasn't one of the highly skilled technical people who did that work. I was just the manager who helped enable part of that. So, another job that I had after that was as a resource development manager for the Western North Slope, and in that I had the opportunity to lead a strategic business review of the West SAC, and the recommendations that our review team came up with have led to the West SAC development that the state is enjoying today. And more recently, I was part of a consulting team that did a project for the Department of Natural Resources for the state of Alaska. And in our report, we recommended some ways that the state could assist new operators in gaining access to North Slope facilities. So throughout my career, I've had a variety of experiences and opportunities both to learn and contribute while learning. And I see this as another one of those. I'm especially excited about the opportunity to be part of such a well-respected commission and to work in concert with intelligent, hardworking, honest and ethical gentlemen like Dan and John, and Dan will pay me for that statement later.
Is that it?
That's it.
This time, questions by the Resource Committee? Did you have a chance to meet with most of us? I know you met with myself and several others.
Everyone, but most of you.
Okay. I have no questions, Kathy. As you know, we don't recommend yes or no. We just pass your name forward. And at this time, I would entertain a motion to forward Kathy's name. Senator Dyson?
Yeah, thank you. I move that we report or forward Kathy Forrester's
name for appointment to the gas commission.
Is there any objection?
GCC.
Is there any objection? Okay, so ordered. Thank you very much.
Do you use my copy or yours?
I got mine right here. Here, let's send it over to Kim. Get started on that end. Just take a quick recess. Before we do, though, let me note Senator Seekins has now joined us at the committee table. Next item before us today is Senate Bill 96, University Land Grant, State Forest. Last time we heard this bill, we had testimony. Right now, it's testimony by invitation only. And currently, we have a CS in front of us. It's CS for Senate Bill number 96, Resources/G. So,
incorporated the amendments, if nothing.
Excuse me?
That just incorporated the amendments?
Incorporated some of the amendments, yeah.
The amendments that passed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Last time.
Nothing.
Chairman,
new.
I'd move /G as our working draft.
Any objection? Hearing no objection, we have /G, CS for 96 in front of us. Senator Seekins.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have in front of us on the blue paper what is a letter of intent to be attached or to be added to the bill as it works its way through the legislature and becomes law. And I would move that letter of intent to be attached.
I'll object for discussion purposes.
Okay. A letter of intent is in front of us for discussion. Senator Guest.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if I should direct my question to you or Senator Seekins. What happens if a not-for-profit who would then develop the land wants to buy the land? It seems like this letter of intent would say that we intend for that not-for-profit not to receive the land.
I don't see that. The last sentence.
The university may not convey the land to a not-for-profit corporation.
Yeah. Or to an entity. And I think that it's either or here, that either the university intends or the not-for-profit or the other entity intends to make the land de facto conservation lands. I have talked with the university. I have talked with other members. And to make sure that as we get through this bill that we don't unnecessarily delay it, we're working very carefully to draft a provision in the bill that I'll introduce at the Finance Committee after it leaves here that would provide in a very clear manner that you could sell the land to a not-for-profit, but it would have to be with the clear understanding that it was not to be used for conservation purposes. It was for development. The first part of the letter here speaks about the intent. And the way I read this, it is the intent of the legislature that the University of Alaska use the land for development purposes that contribute to the economic diversification and vitality of Alaska. The university may not convey the land to not-for-profit corporation or to an entity that intends to use the inset. So it's two things, A and B, I guess. To a not-for-profit corporation that intends to set the land aside in trust for conservation purposes, or to any other entity that intends to set the land aside for conservation purpose. That's the intent of the letter, not to restrict the sale to the not-for-profit if it's to be used consistent with development of the economy of the state of Alaska.
Okay.
Further
and
discussion,
I guess,
Senator Ellen? Follow up, Senator Guest.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess then my next question is, I guess two questions. One, does that mean we're telling the university that if they could get more money for a piece of land, but that if that land is going to conservation, that they need to take an offer that is less, that they can't maximize the money to the university? If you have two bidders and one's going to use it for conservation and one's going to use it for development, and so the development person can underbid or if they do underbid in that situation, that they have to take the less money. Is that the intent?
Yeah, that's the practical result of this amendment that I intend to put out there would be, yes, because otherwise, you know, we all know what a wonderful fundraising event any kind of a sale of timber or a harvest of resources or a predator control program can be for outside organizations that need to raise a little extra money. Save our Alaska lands from being developed and these precious trees from being cut down or harvested. And you could literally end up with not-for-profits using that kind of fundraising scheme to buy all the lands that the university wanted to put onto the marketplace and put them into conservation units. And while it does seem to have a handicap to the University of Alaska, I think it's a reasonable handicap.
And I just had two other questions about that sentence. What if the land in question, the only economic use is actually, let's say, a conservation easement, that it can't be for some reason, and I know the land has been gone through a process, but for some reason can't be developed. What's your intent with that land? I understand what you're trying to get at. I'm trying to do the unintended consequences.
I would only refer back to those people who have spent hours and hours on putting this list together to determine whether or not the intent of the state or the intent of the university is to transfer or accept lands that could not be put to some kind of useful purpose other than conservation lands. Now, I could understand, and I've looked at some of the lands that have been transferred in the past, and that if it's on a steep slope and there's no other use for it, but it could be used for conservation lands of some kind, I could understand that maybe that might be a good practical use for it. But I don't believe that I haven't looked at all the parcels. I don't believe that these parcels have been selected to give otherwise useless lands to the university from DNR. Now they could correct me if that's the case. If someone's pulling a fast one here somewhere, I'd be interested to know about it. I imagine we all would. But the lands that have been selected, as I understand it, are lands that have development potential to them. With that in mind, I think they should be used primarily for that purpose, and that we should be very careful how we do this.
Senator Guest, one more question.
And yes, and maybe when Bob comes up, he can answer that. Are we seeing, if we pass this letter of intent, if a for-profit entity didn't buy the land to set it aside for a trust conservation, and 5 years afterwards the board of directors makes a different decision, I guess, I don't know, I guess that would land in the courts of whether that, and I'm guessing this is a good faith clause.
I don't think that this has the force of law. However, the amendment that I'll propose, if passed, would have the force of law. And that's why we're being very careful how we draft it, to take some of your concerns into consideration.
And I might add to that, the real meat of this letter of intent is in the next to last paragraph. This is why it was started as a letter of intent. There is a parcel of land at Coldfoot, and for those of you aren't aware of that parcel, they are required to be in business 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 52 weeks a year. They cannot shut down, and this made sure that the university has agreed that that land at Coldfoot will not be used for the purpose of establishing business and competition directly with them. And that's the main reason for this. So, Senator Elton.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just, you know, a comment that maybe the drafter of the letter of intent would want to react to. I mean, it seems to me, and we've heard testimony on this bill that would tend to make me believe that there are some people who have been testifying on this bill that believe that land held for conservation purposes does have a strong economic component. and whether it is attracting to people to lodges in the area. We heard, for example, testimony from a guide out of Petersburg that uses the Sumdum parcel as a component of their economic activity. And so I guess I would be worried that the language would preclude that kind of consideration made by the university as they dispose of lands.
Senator Sequins.
Well, I whoo, woke me up on that one. I understand that concern, Senator Elton. But I also understand that if it was put into conservation, then that lodge owner is precluding anyone else from ever coming in there to compete in what could be a two-lodge area. So I don't think that's in conflict. I know that it's always good if you can find a way to keep anyone else from competing in whatever industry you're in to be able to do that. But if some other lodge owner wanted to come in there and buy some of that land that was from the university to establish a competing lodge and the marketplace would allow for it, I wouldn't think that it should be precluded.
Any other questions? Senator Stedman.
We should keep in mind what the vast majority of these parcels, at least in southeast Alaska, the highest and best use is going to be remote home sites or cabin sites. It's not large-scale industrialized logging. It's not large-scale recreation areas for the site development sites. I think there's some interest in those areas with other parcels, and most of this land has been held, or at least a lot of it has been held in private hands previously before statehood, and people have lived there. Whitney Island used to have a post office address. There used to be a post office there. There was that many people that lived there. So by, I would have to agree with the intent of this letter to make it clear to the university that we want the land eventually to go to individuals and they can have their recreation facilities however they want them.
Senator Elton.
I appreciate the discussion, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to point out that, there is an economic component. That economic component can be to the benefit of an existing business owner or a new business owner. And in fact, if the University of Alaska, has a handcuff that would provide that it can't be used for conservation purposes, it could preclude a neighboring lodge owner from purchase of that land to keep it in its natural state, so that it enhances or protects the business that they've already established.
I guess I don't have to raise my hand to speak, do I?
No.
You hit just now on the reason that I favor this letter, and that's if we start taking lands that are meant to be transferred to the University of Alaska or any other area to be developed, and all of a sudden we not only take them out of the realm of developable land, but if we put them into 501c3s or some other tax-exempt organization, we then take the ability, if there's boroughs organized, we take the ability of the borough to have that land on the local tax rolls to be part of their tax base, too. And that's one of the things that I'm more concerned about, especially in some of the areas in southeastern, than any other area, because that land should always remain on the borough tax rolls. I think we've taken enough land out of the private sector and put it in the public sector. I happen to have a lot of land in the Kenai Peninsula borough that has happened to just recently, and they wanted to have a lot more. You remember we did Senate Bill 136, I think it was, last year, and it was only 500 and some acres then. But there were proposals to take, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 acres more, and put it into the park system instead of leaving it available to the public. So that's where I'm coming from. Senator Elton.
Mr. Chair, I understand that. I mean, I think there are a lot of people that are sympathetic to that. I mean, but in fact, this language says to a not-for-profit corporation or to an entity that intends to set it aside. I mean, it would seem to me that in the case of an existing lodge that might want to acquire land to keep it in the central state, I mean, they will be paying taxes on that land. But if their purpose is to hold it in a conservation state, that they would be precluded from bidding on that land.
Yeah. The I understand what you say. Senator Guest.
Thank you. A question to you, Mr. Chair. Maybe I misinterpreted something. Does the university pay taxes on these lands? Would these lands now be taxable entities by boroughs?
It's not the university I'm talking about. It's when the university transfers these lands to whoever is the final owner. Yeah, and you're right. The university doesn't pay taxes either.
I just wanted to make sure. Okay, thank you.
Good idea, though.
Joe's here. Further questions on this letter of intent? Is there still objection?
Yes, there is.
There's an objection. Please call the roll.
Senator Elton?
No.
Senator Sisson?
Yes.
No.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Yes. Senator Stedman.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, I've got another amendment here. I'd like to put forth on the table for version G. What number amendment would you like?
Amendment number one.
Amendment number one. And I would object for discussion purposes.
Senator Stebbins.
There's been a lot of concern over the last several weeks in a lot of the offices in this building from people throughout Southeast Alaska as they became aware of this potential land transfer from the state to the university, and a lot of people were caught by surprise. This amendment would put back in Lena Creek and insert on page 7, line 30, and also insert Haynes Chilkoot. On page 8, line 9, there's inserted a new paragraph, and basically what the paragraph says for the listed parcels, there's 8 of them, and they include the Beecher's Pass, Favor Peak, Three Lake Road, Reed Island, Whitney Island, Earl West Cove, Olive Cove, and Tom's Place. That they were to not be transferred or conveyed to the university until 2013, which would give the Wrangell-Petersburg area the opportunity, if they decided either to have a joint borough or separate boroughs, to be able to pick these parcels up as part of the land when they create a borough. And if they don't create a borough, or they do create one and choose not to exercise this option, then it wouldn't be exercised. What it does, it basically sets these parcels aside to wait and see if those two communities are going to eventually create a borough. There's very, very little private property or state in Southeast. It's mostly federal because we're in the middle of a federal forest. So it gives the communities an opportunity to possibly pick these up. It's not as far-reaching as I would like as far as the amount of parcels to be removed. And we've talked about that at a previous meeting about the concern that I have over the public process, and I think that is an issue that we need to work with the university on. Not that they're technically in error on what's going on, but I think there's an issue where it's nice to go to the communities that are affected and hold public hearings. So anyway, Mr. Chairman, I put forth this amendment. It doesn't go as far as I'd like, but I can also count votes. And I recognize that this is in this arena, we have to compromise. So the list has been reduced, and the language has been modified.
Senator Elton?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd like to propose an amendment to the amendment that discussed with you and with the sponsor of this amendment before the meeting.
At your pleasure.
And the amendment to the amendment would be on page 8, after line 3, under subsection N, to add numbers 8, 9, and 10. Item 8 would be parcel number MF1002, Idaho Inlet. Item 9 would be parcel number MF1001, Mite Cove. And item 10 would be parcel number ST1002, Pelican. This was the subject of some discussion that you and I had, and I think that the sponsor of the amendment had, and so I would ask his indulgence to support the amendment.
Yep. Right. Any objection to the amendment? Senator?
Yes, sir. For purposes of discussion.
Okay.
I'd like a clarification on the insertion point. Because I'm not clear if the amendment to the amendment is for permanent removal or removal of a time certain to be included into a borough. And if it is an amendment similar to the original amendment where there's a time certain upon creation of a borough, then I'd accept it as a friendly amendment so they're treated, because Pelican is in an unorganized borough, along with Wrangell and Petersburg. But if it's an amendment that just excludes them, then I don't support it because those parcels were included on the major exclude list along with numerous other ones that I deleted off trying to come up with a compromise that I could get the majority number of votes at this table to move forward.
Mr. Chairman, my objection was based on my reading of the bill that the amendment would accomplish a permanent withdrawal of those lands.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Elton?
The previous senator's statement is correct. It does add it to the previously excluded list. Does not include the language that is in this amendment under subsection P, which is specific to the Wrangell-Petersburg area. I think the difficulty in doing that and doing that with that much specificity, although we can try this amendment in another way, it would have to be much more of a conceptual amendment. The difficulty being that there has been discussion of borough formation in this area, and as we've noted in the past, these parcels equal more than 99% of the state land that would be available to that borough. But the discussion of borough formation is a complicated discussion between several different communities, and I couldn't tell you where the borough boundaries would be.
Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I recall correctly the testimony of Mr. Johnson, he was particularly emphatic, saying, look, one of these days we may get around to forming a borough and we have no lands left. And I'm very much in favor of allowing that land selection process to be there, but I think there needs to be some kind of a date in time where either they're faced with those lands being transferred because they don't want to form a borough, or they come back to the legislature to extend that period of time to be able to protect those lands if they do intend on forming a borough of some kind. But I'm very sympathetic to Mr. Johnson's testimony. You know, if there's no lands that can be transferred other than these, give them the time to form the political subdivision of the state necessary to accept the transfer. Otherwise, there comes a date when the university or the state is saying, if nothing else is going to happen to him, we'll transfer him to the university.
Senator Elton?
The quick response, and I understand what the previous speaker is saying, the quick response would be that these lands are available for borough selection whether they remain with DNR, if they remain with DNR. The difficulty in this instance being you have several different entities. I know if I start listing them, I'm going to forget them, but you have Elfin Cove, Pelican, Gustavus, Hoonah. I would suggest that under the local option where communities get together and decide what kind of governance they want to adopt, that any deadline that is constrained, and I noticed, for example, in the previous or in the body of the regular amendment that we're trying to amend, it gives a deadline of 2013. I mean, I think that pretty much guarantees that somebody's going to have to come back, because I think that between now and then it's going to be very, very difficult to get these entities together to try and figure out the governance system that they might want.
Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I have no problem with them coming back at a later date, and if I was still here in 2013, I'd probably, if there had been some kind of substantive conversation about creating a borough, if there did appear that there was some kind of movement toward that objective, I would be very sympathetic to extending those deadlines. I don't know that I'll live to be to 2013. I hope so. But if not, if it just now it appears like, well, the argument's over and everybody just goes back to being what they were, then the strength of the argument from Mr. Johnson seems to fade to me. If we're protecting it for the future political subdivision of the state, there should be some progress toward that eventuality. If not, then maybe we were just rope-a-doped a little bit, and I don't like to get rope-a-doped.
Senator Guest.
Chair, a question about the amendment that may or may not go to the amendment to the amendment. What happens if someone wants to form a borough with this land without Wrangell or Petersburg? I mean, are we giving leverage to Wrangell and Petersburg in discussing borough formation by saying that the land has to be in a borough form that includes Wrangell or Petersburg? I don't know enough about the topic.
Senator Stedman.
Under the boroughization plan, the plan boroughs, Wrangell and Petersburg are included in one borough. They may in the future someday create one borough, or maybe they decide that they want to have two separate boroughs. But the way the land is located out, it's the Earl West Cove, Olive Cove, and Tom's Place would be in the Wrangell area, and the other one Favor, Peak, and Beecher's Pass, and Three Lakes Road would be over in the Petersburg. It's Favor Peak is on at the end of the road at Petersburg on the Mitkoff Island. So it's a natural break if they decide to do that by the Straits, the Stikine Straits. So there's a natural water body break. I don't know if they're going to have the model borough, or if they're going to go through a process and try to have two separate. But under this language here, the intent is clearly that if they go together as one borough, or if they separate the two boroughs, then they can select those properties if they so choose, and if they don't, that's fine.
Further discussion?
One or the other.
So,
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Senator Seekins.
If I understand, the intent of the amendment to the amendment would be to permanently remove these parcels from the transfer. Is that how everyone else understands the amendment?
Senator Elton. The sponsor of the amendment to the amendment understands it also.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to have to understand a little more before we vote. Say that again, Senator Seek.
If this amendment passes, it's my understanding, Mr. Chairman, that the language from page 7
notwithstanding A of this section, the following state land described in the document entitled University of Alaska Land Grant 2005, dated January 12, 2005, may not be conveyed to the University of Alaska under this section. So these sections,
the Idaho Inlet, Mike's Cove, and Pelican,
would Mike's Cove and Pelican would all be removed from selection by the University of Alaska permanently.
And put back under DNR.
DNR, correct.
Okay. With his amendment.
Correct. With the amendment to the amendment.
Senator Stedman.
I'd like to speak against the amendment to the amendment, because if the amendment to the amendment goes forward, I've got a whole list I'd like to add to it. And I think the better way of dealing with it is to create a new paragraph Q and change the verbiage of the lead paragraph under Q to addressing Pelican and then list the parcels. And that way, Pelican is treated the same way Peter Spring and Wrangell is.
I would call a question on the amendment to the
that's,
amendment.
That's where I thought we were going in the first place. So the question's been called.
Mr. Chair, I wasn't clear on whether or not that was an amendment to the amendment by the senator.
No, it wasn't.
It's time to vote.
No, we've got the amendment before us, and the amendment basically would exclude Idaho and Mike's Cove and Pelican permanently from university selection.
That's
correct. So, please call a roll.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Stephens?
No.
Senator,
yes?
Yes. Senator Elton?
Yes.
Chair Wagner?
No.
Sure.
No.
Senator Stevens?
He
can't vote.
No. Don't. It's not going to change the
vote. I'm ready to vote on the main motion.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Elton.
Mr. Chair, a conceptual amendment. Conceptual amendment regarding the same three parcels that would create, and again, this is conceptual, it would probably have to create a new subsection after P that would provide that these parcels be protected in the same way as the parcels in P with the same deadlines.
Without including Wrangell or Petersburg.
Senator Stedman.
I could after, because it's a conceptual amendment, I could after it moves beyond this committee, if it does. Check back with Senator Elton so he's comfortable with the verbiage, because the next stop will be finance. If that's
that'd
all right.
That'd be fine, yeah.
And rather than bring it back.
You know, I thought this is where we were going to go in the first place. Right. So, further discussion?
So, Mr. Chairman, if I understand the amendment.
The
conceptual amendment to the amendment number one. It would give the folks in the area of these three pieces of land, which are Idaho Inlet, Mike's Cove, and Pelican, the same opportunity to form a borough before January 1st, 2013?
Mr. Chair, it would be that such a borough would have to be formed before July 1st, 2009, and if not, then those parcels, if I understand P correctly, those parcels would then be transferred to the university prior to June 30th, 2013.
Okay. So yeah. They would have to be, the borough would have to be formed by July 1st, 2009, and the selection would have to be completed before July 1st, 2013.
Same deadlines, Mr. Chair, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, and just so I can clear, ensure that the record is clear, but that in this new section Q, the borough does not have to include Wrangell or Petersburg.
Correct.
On me. That's clear.
We ready to vote, or is there objection? Is there objection to the conceptual amendment to the amendment?
No.
Seeing none, now we have amendment number one in front of us with the conceptual amendment.
Mr. Chair, I have a question about amendment number one. Can the maker just tell me a little bit about the parcel that's being inserted, that's replacing Lena Creek?
Ains Chilkoot.
Is that on the list before, or is that a new parcel?
It was on the list before, and it was It was removed, and it's coming back. We've had a request to reinsert it.
Request by?
By the, well, have somebody come forward.
I just don't know anything about this.
There is somebody that just came forward.
Somebody.
Tim, please introduce yourself.
Tim actually has a name.
Answer the question.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Tim Barry, staff to Senator Stedman. Am I the someone that was supposed to come forward, Mr. Chairman? This parcel was put back on the list at the request of Representative Thomas. It's in his district.
Question on acreage. What's the difference in acreage between the two parcels? Any idea?
Chairman. The Lena Creek parcel is 610 acres, Mr. Chairman. The Haynes Chilkoot parcel is 60 acres. 60. 6-0.
Senator Seekins.
So what is the effective, please explain to me exactly what this amendment does. This deletion and insertion.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Seekins, on the list of parcels that had been pulled out, that are to be pulled out, and by that I mean, Mr. Chairman, not available for transfer from the university or from the Department of Natural Resources to the university. The Lena Creek parcel here in Juneau had been excluded from the transfer. It will now be included in the transfer, Mr. Chairman. The Haynes parcel will be excluded from the transfer.
That's what I understood, but I wanted to make sure I was right, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for clarifying that. Okay. Any further questions or discussion about amendment number one? Senator Elton? Any further?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay. If I escaped into the audience, you wouldn't recommend.
You're going to have a vote.
Is there objection?
Is there objection to amendment number one that contains the conceptual amendment? Seeing none, amendment number one is adopted. Now we have before us CS for Senate Bill 96 as amended. Senator Elton.
For the record, I had an amendment number two, but I'm not going to offer it this time.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, now let us hear from the representative from the university and the department if there's any statements they want to make or any discussion they want to put before. Is that no? Okay. Let the record reflect that there's no further input from the university or the department. Are there any further amendments? Is there a motion to move with individual recommendations? Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move CS for Senate Bill number 96, resources, identified in the upper right-hand corner as / G, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
I object, Mr. Chairman.
Objection has been stated. Please call the roll.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Guest?
Yes.
Senator
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Take just a short recess.